there, and welcome to Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate your time. Hope you're having a good day. It's snowing, or it was snowing. We got lots of snow here in the Midwest, about 12 inches or so. And so I did the drive this morning before I went out. I put some food in the bird feeder and threw some on the ground. And before we can go out, I also have to make a path through the backyard because one of my dogs, as soon as he went out the front door, disappeared. So in order for him to actually have a chance to make contact in the backyard with something, we had to go out and blaze a trail, and then we did the drive. But I don't know. It's a lot of work, but I really enjoy this weather. I like the break. I love the snow. It's just a whole different world when it's quiet and beautiful and white. So, and you know, we're not in this part of the world used to having tons and tons of snow dumped on us. So for us, it's kind of a treat as opposed to living further north or living in some place this is a constant. For us, it's a change of pace, and it's sometimes complicated and challenging, but it's just part of our world. It's nice to enjoy it and have an opportunity to just experience being outdoors and in the natural world. So one of those things that compels me and drives me, I'm always looking for others who are out exploring, experimenting, and finding new ways to see the world. I have no idea how I connected with Robin Reynolds, but I found her book and her site, and I was thrilled because she has a view that she's sharing. And my experiences run the gamut. I've got photos, I've got images, I've got experience that I've, you know, up close and personal. And when I know this stuff is real, I want to connect with other people who are also undergoing that same experience. Robin has a website. You can check it out. Robin, with a Y, L. Reynolds, again with a Y, .com. And the book she wrote is Let Them Know That I Am Here. Robin, hi there. Thank you for talking with me. And I wanted you to tell us more about what this is and how you got started.
Hi, Wendy. It's great to talk with you. We got started on our spiritual journey probably the same way a lot of people do, and that's through tragedy. My partner and I lost her 20-year-old in a car accident in 2003. We had a very, I guess the best way probably for me to explain it is the moment that I walked around the corner and I saw the coroner and the sheriff there, not only did I know that he was dead, but I knew that moment, and I had known that moment my whole life. I kept that moment with me as we began our journey of having to live without him, and I kept reminding myself that if I had known that moment my whole life, that the things that were happening now were very important, and I needed to pay attention. And I did. And I began to ask questions as to why I would have known that moment and why these things were happening. And when I began to ask questions, the universe began to respond. And it's interesting that you started by saying that you know that this stuff is real. And I have always said to others when I'm trying to explain some of my experiences, there's a difference between believing and knowing. And my experience has brought me into the knowing, which has just been incredible.
It's entering a different room of awareness. You know, when you're trying, there's no worry about convincing. There's no need to prove it because it is. And that's right. Just a different state of mind, awareness that nobody can take away from you, because I guess there's a sense of comfort. The answers are here. And that's, it's a different energy set, a mindset. And then you start asking better questions because you know what to ask. You know what to look for. What I wanted to go back and ask you on, how did you have that awareness that you knew that this was all your life? You knew this.
That awareness came in that moment. And that had to be a gift from the universe. It was just that moment that I had known that my whole life, that it was meant to be. And that truly helped me tremendously because it allowed me to not live in the grief. There are still times that you still do live in the grief. But if you can remember that moment, then you know that there is no place for the grief, really, that there's so much joy, and that we all are energy, that we're all eternal, and that we can connect now. And that probably was the hardest thing for me, because I can know this, but then to say, okay, I can sit down and talk to spirit, that's a pretty hard thing to swallow if it's not something that you've been, you know, taught to do, or if you've seen it or you're comfortable with it. So that one was a challenge for me. And Connie would even say to me, I can't believe that you're like, because there are times that I would get afraid. And as soon as I get afraid, then the connection disappears. And she says, I can't understand why you're afraid, because it's different. And I don't know, but I have to remind myself to be in that knowingness.
And that, I think, in my experience too, the information, the guidance I get from my own spirit team is that get beyond the fear. And so in a lot of ways, I had to learn how to figure out, so what is it I am afraid of? I had to learn what scares me the most. And one of the things was locking myself into a pitch black basement, because as a kid, I'd always had this intense fear of the basement. And so I thought, well, what is it? Well, when I started confronting that, I started being able to see things in the dark. Mm-hmm. And I mean, not scary things, but incredible lights and colors and sparks. And I'm like, wow, this is real. But it's another reality that I hadn't even imagined. And it was a breakthrough. When we learn that our fear is just another obstacle, hurdle, challenge, stepping stone, then we live our lives differently, I think.
Huge.
When you really had to face that this transition had happened and you couldn't undo it, what was the next step?
Well, the asking was the next step, and in the asking, then Kyle began to respond. And one of the most fascinating responses was for him to appear in a photograph. I had actually asked him in mind with using our camera, but when I took it out, the battery was dead. But I went back to the old way of thinking, and I thought, well, if the battery is dead, then I wasn't supposed to do this. This wasn't meant to be. And I put the camera back.
Yeah,
but the universe said that was the fear talking again.
Like, whoops, I've gone too far. Whoops.
Yeah.
Cool.
But the universe was in charge, because within about 20 or 25 minutes, a friend of ours said, hey, I'd love to get a picture of you too. And Connie and I just looked at each other, and we both asked in that moment if Kyle would show up in the photograph. But then it took us, this is funny because fear again, it took us 3 hours to ask if we could see the picture.
Like, and I then know, we but didn't. Maybe not yet. I want to, but no.
And then even after we saw it, and both of us saw the orb that was in that very first picture, we still didn't tell her what it was that we were looking for. It was like, and it wasn't until years later, she was over with her kids swimming and her mother was in her 90s, and they were in our basement. And in our basement, we have tons of pictures of spirit photography that we've taken over the years. And they looked at me and they said, Robin, what is this? And I explained to them that it was spirit photography, and we had been connecting with Kyle and the majority of them, but there are other spirits that we were connecting with as well. And they turned to me and they just said that they can appreciate that it brought us, some joy and some connection with Kyle, but they just didn't buy it. And I said, you know, that's funny because you took the very first picture. That was interesting.
Ooh.
So I think that kind of changed a little bit for her. And then in the 10 years that has passed, her mother has also passed. And I'm thinking that may also change her mind about the pictures. But we talked
part of
about
that too
again.
Is when you lose somebody close, then there's a window, there's an opening beyond the grief. There is they are around you, and in my experience, it changes our energy when our loved ones do this. We somehow get a pass to see things that we might not have been open to. It happened with my grandparents when they crossed over, and it's happened with my father and my ex-husband, his father. All these things happened when I wasn't looking for it. It just all of a sudden they're kind of in the room. They're present, and you smell things that you would associate with them, and they're trying to say, hey, come on, pay attention, wake up.
Right, and I think the time is right too. You know, we're beginning the next millennium, and this millennium, I believe, is the spiritual one. So I think a lot of energy is collecting so that these things can happen and we can evolve and grow spiritually together.
And that's what I've noticed. It's amazing. It's like a domino effect, a chain reaction where one happens, then the next one gets it, and the next one gets it, and it becomes more powerful. And the energy just is increasing and exponentially. I think we're all benefiting from that. Your process of doing your photos, since you have a basement full of them, how did you decide to expand that? What was the next step?
You know, it was funny. It wasn't my decision either. I thought that was just the validation that I was asking for. I was asking to know that his consciousness had survived the physical death. And that was one of the questions he validated for me. But one evening, he woke me up in the middle of the night. And pretty much told me that he had different plans. And that particular evening, I went outside, and when he died, our backyard was in major renovation, and by now, everything was done. So I walked around, and it was the middle of the night, and I walked around, and I said, I remember, Kyle, that you were standing here with one of the workmen, and this is what you were talking about. And I took the picture remembering that, and then I walked to the next area of our backyard where we had some roses, and I was like, Kyle, you know, your mom and I, we put this rose garden here in memory of you, and I took the picture. And I spent hours out there just talking to him. That one is a fascinating story because we had originally talked, and then I lost the connection because he'd wanted me to go downstairs. And when I got downstairs, I was like, okay, I'm up in the middle of the night, which is not me because I could lay down anywhere and sleep and wouldn't be a problem. In the middle of the night, and I don't even know what to do. So I went to the computer, and the computer we left on all of the time, and I went over there, and it wasn't on. And I tried to turn it on, and I couldn't get it to turn on. And then I checked every wire and every connection, and I still couldn't get it to turn on. And then I got the connection back because Kyle said, pick up the camera. And I did, and I took a picture, and he's like, outside. So I went outside, and that was when I had that journey. And after spending hours talking to him, I came back into the house and I put the digital card, you know, this is some time ago, into the computer. And I said, Kyle, I need your help. I don't know how to get the computer on. And he said to me, you know, hit the button. So I hit the button, and sure enough, it came on. And then as it loaded up to see these incredible pictures of thousands of orbs that were just filling, I can still remember sitting there with the hair on my arms just standing straight up because I was in such awe of what had occurred. And so they had other plans for me, that this was more than just validating for me, that his consciousness survived. And as the years went on, we talk about the difference between belief and knowing. And it's interesting because I did begin to teach people, and it was amazing how many people I ran into that did have some type of loss that would find out about my pictures. And I would share them, and then I would say, if you'd like to go take some pictures, you know, feel free. And a lot of times they would come over to my house. And every time we would go out and we would take pictures, we would come back, we would look at their pictures, and none of them would have spirit in their pictures. But while they were taking the pictures, talking to their loved ones, I was taking pictures of them talking to their loved ones. And after we looked at their pictures, we looked at mine. And my pictures of them were full of spirit. And in that moment for them, they went from believing that I could connect to believing, to knowing that they could.
Yeah.
And every single person then that went down to take pictures was then able to get the same kind of pictures that I get.
Yeah. See, that's what I think is so amazing about this.
Me too.
It's just being in the presence of somebody who's somehow managed to trip the trigger and give this awareness a window, a way to manifest. And that's all it takes. And then it's the validation that we somehow shift our own energy and incorporate this knowing and say, okay. It unlocks a part of us that until we're ready for it is caught. It's blocked. And then something in us shifts. Yep. I've done this with the night lights and shown people, and they don't know what to make of it. They don't know what this is. It's energy. It isn't. There's no perfect answer for it. It's more than we, I think, at this point are able to fathom. But it's a window and an opportunity to learn more. And with your pictures, you show people something concrete, or at least something visual that says, pay attention. Look at this. And on the cover of the book, now, is that an orb? Is that a particular, is that him or is that somebody else?
No, this particular one is him, and it was a full moon outside. It was a beautiful night, and I just felt so connected to him. And it was funny because I remember when I looked at that picture, I just laughed and said, you know, he brought me the moon, right in front of the tree.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Okay, you've got a blog. You just started the blog thing. We talked about this before we started rolling on the show. And
right.
You're just getting into that. I love it because the first one is one of those things when you have this experience and you're going to see somebody and think, yeah, maybe, maybe not. It's real. It isn't real. We'll find out. And so share that first blog post.
You know, we have gotten different readings in the past because it's always neat to connect with our loved ones on the other side. And some mediums are better than others. But you always walk away with something. This particular medium, Elizabeth Harrington, gave us the neatest gift, I thought. And that's what I blogged about. Connie and I had gotten in the car and we drive up to see my grandmother, who's 92, three or four times a year because we know we're not going to have her that much longer. And this year, for Connie, I gave for her birthday, the reading from Elizabeth Harrington. And as we sit there, Elizabeth is just asking us the coolest questions. And she's like, you know, who's Mary or Marie? And we're like, oh, well, that's, you know, grandma's sister. And we just visited with her yesterday, you know. And, you know, she's asking, well, you know, what about Amazing Grace? And, you know, we don't always listen to music on the way up. This particular trip we did, and we had some specific songs that we picked out that we wanted to listen to, and we happened to pick that one out, which is really not like us to pick that particular song. So for her to say it was even better, we're like, well, we listened to that on the way up. And and then when she was like, you know, what's up with the rice pudding? I just wanted to fall off the couch. What's up with the rice pudding? We made it that morning before we went to see Elizabeth. So you know, other mediums will validate things that happened in the past, but she actually validated what was happening during that trip that he was with us. And I was like, that is the coolest thing ever.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love it because then she also says, what about Elvis?
Oh, we couldn't figure that one out either. And we were like, you know, there's a lot of things you can say about Elvis. And, you know, Elvis is, there's a lot of things, but it wasn't until after we left, we were like, oh yeah, that's the person who sang the Amazing Grace that we listened to. And then at that point, it was just like, man, that was just
okay.
Awesome.
And see, this is the thing I get when people do a reading or something, you know, a lot of times, and as somebody who does readings, the guides will say, don't wait for the hit. Don't wait for the validation. Get the information out and move on. Occasionally, yes. If somebody's balking, then you go back and say, are you sure? Let me rephrase that. Are you sure? And give them two or three times to deny or not to disconnect and not really get it. But the thing is, all of this stuff was coming at you so fast. Hit, 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 hit.
Right.
And then that was like, zing, what happened? And then you go back and because it was overwhelming and it was so spot on that it's almost like your mind is going, whoa, you know, and
yep.
There's too much to really, really say all the, you know, with as you're processing the information, it's hard to to really think at the same time. And I don't know if that makes any sense, but having been through the experience.
Especially Elvis, like, you know what I mean? That's a pretty big.
Yeah.
Right.
Elvis has left the building.
Exactly.
It had to be a joke.
And we obviously needed him to leave the building before we could figure it out.
Yeah. So, but that's the thing. It's just this thing of we learn. And especially when you're doing the medium thing or you're doing a connect for somebody, you can't take it personal. You just go with, okay, this is what I'm given. This is how I'm going to respond, and then move on. Because all of us have our own unique recipe for creating and working with reality. You right. have a gift that you've discovered about being able to take these images for people and show them what's around them in their space to give them a connect with their own loved ones. Do you, you said you also connect with others, and how does that work?
You know, as I begin to connect, I also want to say this too. When you connect, watch the questions that you're asking too, because they respond according to the question. So there's one picture that I have that there's two frogs that are sitting in rocking chairs in my backyard. And I was talking to Kyle and I was like, okay, let's talk in terms of like space. If one frog is me and one is your mom, where are you in relation to this space? And in that particular picture, there is one orb. So then I would say, you know, I can envision there's a picnic table and I can say, I could see you and your dad sitting here, you know, in the summer drinking a beer. And I take that picture, and there's two orbs. So there's a communication that's going on. So watch that. And sometimes I go off on a little tangent. Can you remind me what the question was?
Well, you branched out to working with other people and getting other connects. And so, but I think what you're giving, your information is brilliant. It's very helpful because, yes, a lot of times our questions, we're giving too much information and it's not a question. It's like, okay, can you help me validate this? I already know what my answer is going to be. And it's like, no. We have to learn really better methods of couching or framing our questions and not giving it an answer before it manifests.
Right. And you have to allow things to manifest too.
Yeah. Give it space.
Because your belief can change the outcome too. And that's shown by all the people that stood outside take the pictures that could believe that I could do it, but couldn't believe that they could.
And then they break that. Once they do that, they break that barrier. Once they see what you've come up with to show them. Now on your website, the Facebook page, you show there are pictures of the orbs and pictures so that people can get an idea of what this looks like. But when you're working with other people and showing them this, what do they do? What's the response? Are they skeptical, or are they, you know, I know there's a wide variety, but how has this helped?
You know, I in the beginning, I think there were people that thought it was neat for me. But again, that wasn't the place that they were at, but I have seen huge differences in the last 10 years in, almost everybody now in some way that I run across is interested in opening so that they can see, I like to call it the magic of the universe. You know, for me, it's, we live in a place that's very mysterious and magical. And if we can just open and allow, the things that happen are just, I'm in awe at what I see happening when I'm open and I allow. I'm in awe.
The thing
and
is, it didn't happen for you overnight.
That as well.
So,
I'm sorry.
How did that, you know, that awe and all of that? I guess how did you get from point A to point B from discovering this and then having the pictures and saying, because right now you're saying we want more people to get together. We're wanting to share this, and it's taken, as you said, like 10 years or so.
Yes.
You started in 2003. It seemed like then it was on a very fast track, so to speak. How did that happen?
I think that I'm spirit driven. I think that my grandfather, I think that his soul is one that has a vested interest. I happen to believe, and I can't tell you why I think this, but I think that we have soul groups. and that we come down here with a mission or an idea of what we would like to accomplish while we're here. So we have groups of souls that are on the other side and groups of souls that are here that are supporting us so that we can do these things. I think my grandfather is somebody that is vested in this. I think Kyle is very vested in this. And I believe that that we decided before we came that we could take this experience and use it as an opportunity to help a lot of people that are open to learning more about the universe that we live in and learning more about themselves. Because ultimately, to me, spiritualism is exploring your connection, you know, to the energy that some people call God, other people call the universe, things like that. And then you said it has been 10 years, which in one breath is a long time, in another breath it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Because as I was able to accept one thing, they were working on showing me the next thing. And even they began to talk to me. And for me, I'm a little bit conservative. I know that, you know, I have a female partner and that's not conservative, but I still view myself as being conservative. And for me to be able to say, well, hey, you know, I'm a medium, that really isn't in my belief set. And yet I have these people from the other side that are talking to me. So I've struggled with that belief, but I've done some things well in terms of being able to pass those messages along and grow and expand. And I'll give you a perfect example of where I was 10 years ago and where I am now. Aunt Marie, who is my grandmother's sister, 97 years old. And we played cards with her, you know, 3-4 days in a row, 4 times a year, up until April when she had a stroke. And then she went into the nursing home. And I would talk with her and I would tell her, you know, these last 8 years, 9 years of reconnecting with you have really been just wonderful for me. And I send you such love, and I want so much for your passing to be a good passing. And so I send love to that experience. And if you would like to, you know, pass by here when you leave and let me know, I think that would be fantastic. So a week ago Monday, she did leave. And I'm in bed, and I happened to that night be thinking of her, and I sent her love. And she began to talk to me, and she was very excited. She was an excitable character anyway, but she kept telling me that it was the second time that she died. And I was like, well, what do you mean? And she just kept saying that to me over and over. And when I heard it, it was like it wasn't even in my head. You could, like, when your ear was hear something and you know that your eardrum moves, you can feel that. That's what this was.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at the clock because I knew that wasn't my imagination. I knew that she had in fact died, and that was her way of saying it. So I looked at the clock. It was 10:11. The next morning, I got a phone call. I looked at the number. It was from my grandmother's number. I picked up the phone and I said, what time did she leave? And they said 10:14. And I thought, what a magnificent gift.
Yeah. Yep. Checked in. You know, that's the thing that's so beautiful about all of this is that these connections are real. And we have ways of making them concrete for ourselves because we know the details. Nobody else knows the details. Nobody else can take away your experience from you because you're the one who gets it. It's just one of those things that we begin to experience as this opens up is we're more connected to the others around us energetically. And sometimes I will feel these emotions and wonder, what the heck is going on? So I have to look at the clock. Last night I walked in and I had this overwhelming, it was like a deluge of grief. And I'm thinking, this isn't mine. Where is it coming from? About 7 o'clock. Andy, you know, quickly, look at the clock. What is it? And I have to figure out, where is it coming from? And those connections aren't always apparent. But we learn through this process of expanding our awareness that if we wait and give it time to manifest and time to show us instead of jumping to conclusions and thinking, well, I need to take an antidepressant.
Right? And not reacting, right?
You know, then we are so much more tuned in to all of our significance who are here, our soul group, because I know, and no details, but because of the dreams I am having of what's going on in my surroundings, in my group. And it doesn't mean I can prevent it, but I can have more empathy and more compassion that there are some struggles that are happening that need to happen. And the best thing I can do is send love and light,
right,
and be aware. But that's a thing that you experience more and more as this type of awareness comes into your world and basically reformats your hard drive.
And right. And it doesn't happen all at once, or it didn't for me. I know it can for others. But it's interesting that you said that, because I went to meet a friend of mine and I was waiting in the parking lot for her. I was having a great day. And as I was waiting, I was getting these insane feelings of being overwhelmed and being in such a bad mood. And in my mind, I'm thinking, this is crazy. Where is this coming from? And then I in my mind, I could remember other people saying things about empaths and things like that. And I thought, oh my gosh, this isn't mine. And as soon as I realized that, it was gone. And when my friend got there, that was all of hers with what was going on in her life. And again, for somebody who's pretty conservative, that was pretty wild to be able to figure out that that's how energy works.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We're going to take a break, but I want to come back. You started a publishing company and you're looking for others to share their stories. Can we get into that in this next half hour?
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to take a break. Of course, we're going to share more stories, but this is the kind of community that comes as a result of us tuning into our own awareness and expanding our horizons and then exploring and looking for others who are also on the same path and saying, hey, look at this reality. It's much bigger than we thought. I'm Wendy Garrett. This is Conscious Living. My guest is Robin Reynolds. We'll be back with more on Conscious Living.
Hey, Larry, mind if I sit down?
Nope.
This coffee tastes like coffee. So what's going on?
Not much.
What's new?
Not much.
Okay, but can you please put the newspaper down while you say not much?
What newspaper?
This newspaper. Oh, dude, what happened to your face? I see one, two,
ow,
three, four, five, six.
Ow.
Dude, what is
ow
this? 11 pieces of toilet paper stuck to your face?
I'm shaving in the dark to save energy. I'm helping the environment.
That's a dangerous way to help the environment.
Well, sometimes you have to sacrifice yourself for the greater good.
Dude, there's an easier and safer way to help the environment without sacrificing yourself. Go green, go public. Take public transportation. It's good for the environment and you won't have to live behind a newspaper.
Wow.
But for now, put the newspaper back up.
A message from the public transportation systems across the country. To learn more, visit publictransportation.org.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong.
It's always nice to come home. But these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg!
Ha ha! I win!
Whoa! Ah! Sassy! Johnny fell down the well!
I'm wet!
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound health and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Hi there, and welcome to Conscious Living on Empower Radio. I'm Wendy Garrett. My guest, Robin Reynolds. She's a spirit photographer, also an author, Reiki master, speaker. Let Them Know That I Am Here is the name of the book. It's about her son, and her whole process started as she was working through her grief. But that's the amazing thing about this is sometimes in the things that we would consider terrific tragedies, we get a gift or some kind of a beautiful awakening. And I think that is oftentimes what's necessary to help us crack through the shell that we have and bring out a lot more light. And on the cover, I love the cover of your book. This beautiful, it almost looks like a moon, but it's iridescent. And it's just a beautiful example of what these orbs look like. And so, you know, Kyle is saying, look at me now, you know, it's just that beautiful, beautiful book. Now in that, you know, since we're talking about that, you're starting a publishing company with your partner.
I am. You know, I felt from the beginning that this was a story that needed to be told. And originally I sent it out to a good bit of publishers and I didn't get much, if any, response. But I did have one publishing company call me and it was a small one. She said that she really liked it and she thinks that I should pursue it. But that she didn't want to do death.
Death, I remember both. It's really not good.
I smiled and I said, you know, the book's not really about death. It's really about life after death, you know, on both sides. And after that, I kind of put it away for like 4 years. And then in 2012, towards the end, I got real serious and I said, you know what, it's time to do this. So I finished the manuscript and I decided I was going to self-publish. I did my investigating. Some of the bigger companies I thought were charging just an exorbitant amount of money, really basically just to produce it and not do any of the advertising. And so I decided I was gonna self-publish it, and I got into that, not knowing really what it took to do that, and the fact that I had pictures really made mine not an average project. So when we finally got the finished product in my hand, although we all did it with love, it really was average, and I really didn't think that it did that justice to the story. And as things happen, I happened to be connected at that time. I met Cami Ferone at a spiritual seminar that I was at, and she was starting her own graphics company, and I said, can you help me? And from there, Cami and I did partner. I told her, you know, that I had the press and everything. She helped me. She formatted the book. We got it ready for print, and she did just a magnificent job for this. But in doing this, we started to talk about how many stories are out there, because all of these people because really, I really think it's happening to just about everybody, that they are starting to look. And as soon as they start to look and they ask that question, they've started their story. So everybody has a story to tell. And it's not easy to get the stories out.
I agree. And that the thing that you said, you know, I'm not doing death. You know, well, if you go back, how about ghosts? Because there's a big thing for ghosts and hauntings and supernatural and spooky stuff. But when you get into the near death, after death, life beyond, then it's a little, or at least in the past 10 years, it has been more challenging. But what I see now, given what I was doing in 1997 versus what's happening now, is an explosion of interest. And not only that, there are more people who are saying, well, I was skeptic, but, or I am skeptic, but this is what I've gone through. And I love it, because it says that we don't know how to talk about it, but we're doing it anyway.
Right. It's amazing. And older people are blowing my mind. You know, they come up to me and they say the most incredible things, and I just want to hug them and kiss them and say, yes, you know, I'm here for whatever you want to talk about. you know, let's do it. But what we wanted to do is we wanted to give these people a platform to do it and not charge $8,000, you know, to do this. So, so we have launched, what we basically did was we said, okay, we have the Traveling Soul Press, which is the publishing company, but there's so much more that we want to do that we went back and we said, we're going to have the Traveling Soul Group and we're starting with the press. So anybody that has a manuscript, that would like help, we will help you do it. We'll do your ebook. You know, we'll get you a printed book. We can get you started with a website. If you need help putting the final touches on it, we can do some editing for you. And people are coming out of the woodwork for us. Editors are calling. You know, I have a friend of mine whose daughter was in editing and publishing for 12 years, and she got laid off. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, like. And, you know, so I finally got to meet her, and she's now the editor, you know, at the Traveling Soul Press. So it's just been fascinating what's going on.
Well, it's a wonderful way of affirming that this reality is bigger and that we have a lot of, I mean, we have a vested interest because it's in our best interest to become more tuned in so that we don't have this incredible fear about death. Everybody goes through it.
Right.
Your pets go through it. You know, everybody right. experiences it. And just to be so separate from that and make it something that's, you know, that's a scary movie thing. It has to be in some way, shape, or form a natural part of being.
Right.
Because the things I've experienced, death is really this other beyond element is really an amazing place, and you don't have to be in a rush to get there because you will.
Right. Right. And you'll do it time and time again.
Oh, but right now where we are is in the process of making our stories more accessible. And I love
right.
that that's what you're doing.
Thank you. Well, it gets really interesting because we started, Cammie and I started talking about, well, you know, we can publish all the books that we want. But is that really making it more accessible to everybody? And we were like, well yeah, in a way, yes, but we really need to do more. And it months we talked about this. And in order for this to be, you know, accessible for everyone, we then created the Traveling Soul Market. And we're weeks away from launching this. But basically, we've created a platform where spiritually minded people to come. And the way that I like to look at it is we're creating a home for spiritual exploration. So we're inviting those people that have spiritual wares, whether it be a book, whether it be a service, whether you're a Reiki practitioner, a medium, a life coach, to come to the market so that people that are looking for you can find you. You know, candles, incense, things like that. And then we're going to create classrooms. We're going to do a learning center. We're going to do where groups can join together so that we can explore, we can hear each other's stories, and then we can explore those things that resonate with us. So that no matter if you're a beginner or you're an expert, there's always somebody there, you know, that needs something from connecting with you.
Now, when you got into this or originally, how much did you know about, you know, some of the classics like PMH Atwater, Raymond Moody, the Robert Monroe? Did you know about any of their research before you started?
You know, I don't even know who Robert Monroe is. That's going to be the first thing I do when I hang up with you.
No, that's why I'm asking, because that's the thing. There are so many people out there who have done this exploration, but it's been isolated. And it's still, even in our age of information, this has been almost a taboo subject. Because
right.
if the minute you expose yourself and say, I believe in this, or I'm thinking about this, or if I've experienced this, if you're not in the right group, then you get shut down and poo-pooed and no, don't go there. No. You know, you're off the beaten path and we don't want to go there. So these people who have, Betty Eady, have at least brought this kind of topic to the table are still names that they aren't, not everybody knows who they are. And that's the beautiful thing about what you're doing is each of these individuals who's going to connect with you. It's like if you go into a map and you see all the little spots and then you do a zoom and then you see the spots get bigger and you do a zoom again. And all of a sudden, all of these people who were separate and not any, they had no frame of reference to say, I have this in common, start to see the connections. Like, oh, wow, this is real for you. And it makes us feel, I think, so much more comfortable in being human and saying we get to have these extraordinary experiences and they don't have to have a scientific basis because science hasn't gotten there yet.
Right.
It's going to have to catch up.
Exactly.
But if we stop talking about it, it can't. And if we stop doing that, you know, Eben Alexander with his near-death experience, you know, being the doctor, having his background, gave it some validation, gave it okay
I
for people to talk about
story.
It because he's a doctor.
Yeah, that was phenomenal. And the fact that he chose to share it is just is showing you where the world has come in the last 10 to 15 years.
But get this, it's only been a couple years.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Before then, I mean, we had to have a poster child, a billboard, and then it gave it some kind, but there was a groundswelling. There were people who had been doing this work for 20, 30, 40 years had made it underground where there's other little groups who are saying, please, please, please give me some information. And then finally, some big names and Anita M., she's the one who was for a long time just known by Anita M. At least I'm thinking 2005 or 6 when I first read her story. She didn't go public and really hit the media trail for the, you know, I think the last 3 or 4 years is when same time, you know, with Eben. All of a sudden, and yet it hasn't been all of a sudden, we are beginning to get more of a culture that supports these kinds of experiences in your book. So I think, yeah, you've got a good market. Uh-huh.
It's really an exciting time to be alive.
What does Kyle think about all this?
I just got the chills. He says it's an exciting time to be on that side too.
He's alive in a different way. He doesn't have to deal with all this baggage. You know, he can go through the walls and the doors and the obstacles and say, hey, look, it's great over here.
Yep.
But that, okay. So with that connection, is there still a part of the grief?
Yes. And it sometimes it takes you by surprise, you know, because you have to make a decision. And I do talk about this in the book. Kyle was an only child. So when he died, we lost more than just him. You know, we lost the way that we were living our lives and we would never have grandchildren. We lost a lot. It's very easy. And it would be very easy to sit down and not get back up. So every day you really have to make that decision that you are not going to live in the grief. So I'll give you another example because I know it's easy to go into that grief because of what you've lost, but I was a smoker. I smoked for 30 something years and I knew that if I was going do all the things that I want to do, okay, that I had to stop smoking. And I didn't want to stop smoking because I happen to like to smoke. But I like it.
Oh, that's so not fair.
Right? So I made the decision in October because, I mean, I want to take these groups of people around the world. I want to go to Machu Picchu. I don't say it right. I hate that. But I can't walk up that mountain in that altitude if I'm still smoking. So in October, I made the decision. And every time I had that urge to pick up the cigarette, which, you know, in the beginning was every 10 seconds, you had to make the decision. Nope, I don't do that. Nope, I don't do that. Nope, I don't do that. So if you can live in that decision, you're golden.
Yeah.
But if you allow yourself, and sometimes with grief, you do have to allow yourself to just spend the day and mourn because you have lost something that if you were given the opportunity to change, you really would. As awesome as the gift is, you would give it back to get him back.
Yeah. Yeah. In a heartbeat.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why you don't have a choice in these things.
Part of it, though, is knowing that these experiences are so incredibly beyond words that you just have to allow that people will understand or grow into the knowing at their own pace, but by giving them an opportunity to hear or see your viewpoint, if it happens to them, they have a window. All right. And if you don't share it, if you don't bring this into the manifest plane, then that's a rung on the ladder that isn't there. It's waiting for somebody to put it there. And that's what you're doing, is saying, okay, here's another way up. This is it. This is one more way to get your head above the clouds and say, look it up here. Hey, don't stop where you are. And that's a thing. I think we're human. These bodies only last so long, and that transition that happens. I remember when my grandmother died, I felt that intense grief in my body. And then she came to me and she gave me some information about the song she wanted at her funeral. And I had no idea she was a George Strait fan. I didn't picture in that category. I just said, and this song that was so perfect, I Only Want to Dance With You. And I was not, and am not, a big, huge fan of country music, because I grew up with it, and I wanted to go a different direction, but I appreciate it. And so I actually, he was one of the guys I got to go see and interview and all that good stuff. And here it is. My grandmother was a closet fan, or at least I didn't know about it. And she wanted a song, I Only Want to Dance With You. And as soon as she gave me her information, I felt this joy, this bubble, and all the grief went away. It dissolved and it never came back. And that was the thing, is once the connection was made, I didn't have to grieve anymore. Now, it's different. This is not a child. This is my grandmother, and I'd had her for a while, okay?
Right.
But at the same time, it was that sense of closure and yet of a new beginning.
Right.
And so that was a very powerful, very powerful experience. And then George Strait.
You know, everything you say is just right on. You know, because you lost that relationship, and that was a very loving relationship for you. And so you had a loss. But to know that she lived a full life and probably a good life, and when she came through with you, to you, to tell you she was okay, then all is good in your world, and you can go back. My grandmother being 92, I'm going to miss her when she goes, because we're very close. But I pray for her an easy death, because I know that she's fearful of death. And if she gets that, I think I'll be happy. And every relationship is a loss, and everybody's going to mourn it, but each loss is a little bit different. And with children, you know, you feel like it's against the natural order of things, and they didn't get a whole life. So I don't know that you will ever get to a place. I don't know if I can ever get to a place. Even knowing that the gifts that he has given us, and I say us because it goes way beyond just, you know, me and Connie, even though they are incredible and they're gifts that are being given to the world, I don't know that I can ever be like, okay, that.
It's not
probably,
fair.
I have to think about that, because that's not quite the right word that I want. But I can accept that it has happened, and I can be joyful that he is joyful on the other side. But I don't know that I go back and say, like, you know, that I'm very sad that somebody that's 97, you know, has passed. Where you will do that with someone who dies younger, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. There are things that we really can't reconcile, and I don't know that we're meant to, but the gift he gave, as you said, goes beyond you, because this community you're developing is a result of him taking an early exit.
And I think that's why that's come up, because I didn't really want to end on this note, but there are so many people who have lost children, that are having such a difficult time with this. And I don't by any means think that I can ever help them over the grief. But I think that the messages that Kyle, you know, is sending through and that the spirit world is sending through can absolutely help them in the pain that they're living in now.
What they're trying to do is give you a way to see your way through it. Yeah, you're not going to get over it. It's not going to go away. But if you can see your way through it, then there is a future. And then there is a bit of comfort in this life because you're not done yet. You aren't done.
Right.
He took an out, you know, but that's because this thing is happening between the two of you and it's for the good of the greater. And, you know, that's the thing about sacrifice. When we look at it from our perspective, that's a sacrifice of leaving this world. And he's saying, well, wait till you get here. You'll find out it wasn't such a big sacrifice. You know, get over it. But that's the thing. It's so great to be able to embrace where we are right now and say, all right, there's more. Let me be a link in the chain. I got something to add and I'm going to make it golden. Okay. And that's what you're doing, Robin. You are doing that. You're making it golden. And he's given you that beautiful light to say, come on, keep going. I really, really am glad I had a chance to talk with you today.
Me too. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Now, if you're listening, Robin, Robynl Reynolds, Reynolds.com. All right. You can find out if you have your own story to share, a book that you're wanting to get published that is this kind of content, then here's a good platform. And she also has the Facebook page where you can find some of the photography that people have taken, she's taken, and give you an idea of what the orbs look like and how they manifest. And then get over your self-doubt. You're here for a reason. You have these abilities too. We're talking about them because that's what it's about. Is there anything you'd like to add before we close?
I just want to thank you very much for the opportunity to talk to you about, you know, our experience.
Okay. Well, it's not about death. Okay.
Oh.
Let them know that I am here. George Anderson, another medium who, you know, We Do Not Die is his book. There are so many people out there who've given us these little light bulbs, these little stepping stones, these little brilliant sparks of light saying, come on, come on. It's time for you to step up. Shine your light. Let people know we got a lot more to learn and we're not done yet. If you want to connect with me, I do Conscious Living on Empower Radio. EmpowerRadio.com is the website for that. I do Twitter. I just started, so this is really exciting. And then there's a Facebook page, too. Or you can just email me, lightforone@AOL.com. In the meantime, though, do your own exploring and check out what you think as opposed to what you know and what you believe. You'll find a whole lot of different categories mixed up in there. And check out Robin's book. Let them know that I am here. Have a great day. Thanks for listening. Conscious Living on Empower Radio. See ya.